You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hena Baba. What's a piece of functioning San Francisco infrastructure that's over 100 years old? The Golden Gate Bridge? The sewer system? Nope, it's the Embarcadero Sea Wall. It's old, it's sinking, and it's structurally unsound, especially if a big earthquake were to hit. That's why the Board of Supervisors unanimously placed Proposition A on the San Francisco ballot. If it passes, it would kickstart repairs. Most local leaders support Prop A, but the few opponents argue that, like many city infrastructure projects, it may go over time and over budget. KLW's Angela Johnston joins me now in studio to tell us more about the first proposition you'll see on your San Francisco ballot. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
So tell us more about the seawall. What exactly is it?
Okay, so I didn't know much about the seawall before I started looking into Prop A. It's actually one of the older pieces of infrastructure in the city. Some pieces were built in 1879.
Oh, wow.
And the seawall is this man-made foundation along a three-mile stretch of the San Francisco Bay shoreline. So it goes from Mission Creek, that's near AT&T Park, mm-hmm. to Fisherman's Wharf. And I don't know if you've ever taken a stroll along the Embarcadero. Mm-hmm. You're walking along the seawall.
That's where it is.
Right. And okay. I want to be clear, a century ago, it wasn't built to hold back water necessarily.
Okay. So tell us about that time. What was it?
Yeah. So to get some history about the seawall, I went there. And I talked to Stephen Reel. He works for the Port of San Francisco. We met at the San Francisco Port headquarters at Pier 1 on the Embarcadero, and we walked outside to the pier. We looked at our surroundings, and most of what we see is built on landfill.
You can see the ferry building. The entire ferry building sits out over the bay. It's actually a forest of timber piles under there, about 5,000 of them.
Really?
Yep. It's pretty amazing construction, 1896.
Wow, that's incredible.
So the seawall that we see is only about 3 to 5 feet of concrete and a railing. That's depending on the tide. But actually, it extends 30 feet under the bay, and it's built on top of a bunch of rocks, which are on top of basically a layer of bay mud.
Okay, so this is man-made. It isn't just where the city naturally ends.
No, and here's what Stephen told me.
So if you look back to the Salesforce Tower, and if you turn your head a little bit, you could see the Transamerica Pyramid. That's the original shoreline. So 1850s, this whole area downtown is a tidal marsh.
The Transamerica Pyramid was the shoreline?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more.
Well, I'll tell you more. In the 1850s, San Francisco decided it wanted a port. So it dredged a trench through that marsh. And it filled it in with rocks from Telegraph Hill. That was actually one of the original quarries in the city.
Uh-huh.
Roads and sidewalks went on top, and all of this created the port and allowed ships to dock right up against that seawall.
Okay, so what's the state of it now?
Well, Stephen says the seawall has done a pretty good job for 100 years, but it's starting to be very vulnerable to any future earthquakes. And remember, it survived two earthquakes already, 1906 and 1989.
Right.
The port commissioned a study back in 2016, and it had it peer-reviewed by engineers, and it confirmed their suspicions. The fill that was used behind the seawall sits over bay mud, and it's very liquefiable. So in a large earthquake, that's really not stable foundation.
Okay, so what exactly would happen in an earthquake?
Well, I met with Laura Tam. She works at SPUR, the Urban Planning Agency, and she studies water and energy policy.
There could be cracks in the road. There would be, severing of the connection between the piers and the waterfront. There could be collapsing buildings. There could be, a lot of the things we see could fall over in an earthquake.
But then there's all the things we don't see. Like, for example, the city's main sewer line runs under and near the seawall. And then there's BART that has the Embarcadero BART station. There's electrical wires. There's a lot.
Okay, so back to Proposition A. This is supposed to fix the seawall. So none of this would happen in the first place.
If Prop A passes, $425 million in general obligation bonds would be sold to fund seawall improvements. Mm-hmm. Supporters say it wouldn't increase taxes, and work would begin on the most vulnerable sections of the seawall first. And that could mean injecting concrete deep down. The authors of the proposition hope that future dollars would fund longer-term work on the rest of the seawall.
So who is against the proposition?
Well, there are a lot of groups in favor. If you look in your guide, you'll see a lot of paid arguments from Airbnb and Facebook. BART Board supports it. Save the Bay supports it. The Board of Supervisors unanimously put this on the ballot. Most politicians support it. The only vocal opposition is the Libertarian Party. And Star Child is the main spokesperson for that group. Here's what he had to say against the measure.
The first kind of most obvious one is just the cost of the thing. $425 million, and that's just a start. That's not even the entire project. The entire project is as they say, up to $5 billion. And historically, the estimates tend to be lowball estimates.
He cites other big projects like the Bay Bridge or the Salesforce Transit Center that have gone over budget and also haven't been done correctly. And although the measure won't raise taxes directly, it could raise property taxes over the years. And the party worries that that could get passed on to tenants. They also say it only protects waterfront businesses, and they think the businesses along the waterfront should pay for the fixes themselves rather than people in the Mission or other places in the city.
Okay. Anything else we need to be thinking about?
Well, since it's a bond measure, it requires a two-thirds supermajority to pass.
Okay. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you.
Angela is KELW's election coordinator and environmental reporter. You can reach her at environment@kelw.org.